You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This week on our regular catch-up with Dr. Shane Reti from the National Party, we discussed emergency housing in Rotorua, the government's new measures to tackle crime, and banning petrol cars by 2030. The main story is, of course, the Rotorua emergency housing crisis. Unsafe living conditions with fights, gangs, and drugs are common in these places. What does the National Party make of all of this?
So we've been raising this question for a while, that the emergency housing situation in Rotorua and in some other areas is unsafe, and we've had significant concerns. We need to remember the Prime Minister said the motels were a temporary solution and they didn't want children living in cars, but we know last month when our housing person brought it out that the number of children living in cars has risen by about 350% from 2017 to now, and a staggering $1 billion of people being housed in motels. You know, when Phil Twyford was the Minister for Housing, he used to say 90,000 a day on motels was too much. Well, now we know this government's spending $1 million a day. And so really it's an unsatisfactory situation that comes back to building more houses. We understand the need for emergency housing, but the root cause of the problem is that there hasn't been enough houses built, and it sort of puts a wash over the Prime Minister's promise when she came to power that she would increase, I won't even go down Kiwi Build, that was a disaster, but that she would increase the number of houses available. And so we're seeing that play out in Rotorua and in other towns. And, you know, we understand we're trying to find that balance. Some people clearly need the housing safety net, we get that. But they then very clearly need to be safe if they are placed in one level in care of the state through emergency housing. They need to be safe in that emergency housing.
If elected in 2023, what is the plan to kind of tackle this staggering amount of people in need of emergency housing? What is the process looking like to get the number of houses up?
Three words: build more houses. And that's a combination of several things. It's a combination of regulatory compliance. And so we know the RMA is a hindrance to building houses. And indeed, we've made some suggestions and indeed a collaboration to see if we can more sensibly and reasonably adapt the RMA and adapt the consenting process to build more houses. It's really simple. We need to build more houses across the spectrum of houses. We're really interested in collaborating with social providers, social housing providers, because often they can be more nimble and move more quickly than the state can in providing the social housing that we need. So we would bring this back to the core action, build more houses.
The last national government led by John Key did sell off a number of state homes. The party's housing spokesperson at the time, Nicola Willis, even admitted to selling off too many. Would you accept this may have played a role in the shortage of housing we see now?
Look, I think what I accept is that there is always a turnover of state houses as you look to modernise, as you look to get more effective configurations. So a number of the state houses are 3 and 4 bedroom. What we know is that 1 and 2 bedroom is in greater need. And so to affect that, you might well sell some houses so that you could produce more. Well, you know, you could sell a 4 bedroom house and produce 2 2-bedroom houses and have housing that is better fit for purpose. So every government, including this government, has sold state houses. And often it's to get a better configuration and get more fit-for-purpose housing.
Moving on to crime today, there have been a number of smash-and-grab and ram raid-type robberies across the country. This morning, the government announced new measures to tackle youth offending in a package called Better Pathways. It aims to place more young people in education, training or work to drive down youth crime. Is this enough, or is it a case of too little, too late?
Look, I think this is really behind the eight ball. I think this is the government reacting to the polls and reacting to the very bad messages that they're getting around their soft on crime approach. You know, we'll always be interested in avenues that can reduce crime and particularly help with youth offending, because it does look like it's a significant factor in ram raids, for example. And I think what was interesting in the pilot that they're looking to roll out further, I think it was about 50 children, and 19 of them, as I recall, were not in education. And what this talks about is the social determinants of crime that we also need to talk to. And this specifically talks to truancy and the important role that education and the structure of being in the schooling service, the importance that brings in preventing crime. So we're supportive of any initiatives that have a track record, that have accountability, that have outcomes that can help us redress this wave of youth offending.
In order to kind of avoid being seen as soft on crime, would you consider the National Party's policies to tackle youth crime punitive?
No, I think when you look at them, what we've said we would do for youth offenders is, first of all, we'd have a different attitude towards youth offending. And fundamentally, we'd firstly stop the culture of excuses. Secondly, we have a plan to tackle gangs, to reduce their influence on vulnerable communities and young people. And thirdly, we've stated that we'll identify those at most of risk in offending and focused on getting them engaged in either school, training or work. So I think when we look at crime, there's always that that balance between deterrence and then education, and looking at the underlying factors, and you need to have that balance right. And we would suggest that this government clearly has not got that balance right, because even here today in Whangarei, in the middle of CBD, we have a retailer with broken glass. I just drove past it, and my understanding from security who have just turned up is that this was another youth offence overnight. So we really do need impactful solutions and a youth offending policy, because what it is in play at the moment is clearly not working.
I'd love to know your kind of strategy for this deterrence and making this life of crime not seem as appealing. Because if you have all these youths diverted into the prison or justice system, that is where they form their criminal and gang connections and kind of get trapped into this cycle of crime. So what exactly is the National Party hoping to do to deter youths from crime?
So you'll see our youth offending policy, I believe, in the next month or two. The Honourable Mark Mitchell is leading that, and we've been working on that for quite a while, so I'm not going to preempt what he will bring forward.
Mm.
But what you'll see is a combination of a reasonable deterrence, reasonable consequences that everyone understands for these actions. Well, furthermore, we've already talked about some of the reasons for youth crime, that is a desire or an attraction for it to be a pathway into gangs. And if we start at that as a root source, if we start at truancy as a root source, if we see how we can help the families that may be struggling and that may well be encouraging or perpetuating the children in the family to be undertaking youth crime, those are the social determinants of crime, of course. If we look at all of these things in a well-rounded package, we believe we can make an offering that will make a difference.
Finally, I just want to briefly touch on this. Seven countries have pledged to ban the sales of new petrol and diesel vehicles by 2030, including Norway, the UK, Germany and the Netherlands. Currently, Aotearoa has planned to do this by 2050, but the Climate Change Commission has recommended 2035. Should New Zealand be following these countries' example?
So we're fully committed to the emissions targets, including net zero by 2050. We've collaborated with that. And we said this in May when the budgets were announced, that we support the goal of lower emissions, but we may not always agree on the way we get to those lower emissions. On this particular matter, it's not clear to us that banning the imports of petrol and diesel cars less than 8 years from now is necessary. We support a clean car standard, and we're proud of the record on climate change, but we'd want to see more evidence that bringing it forward is truly going to be beneficial.
What's the National Party's plan to tackle transport emissions at the moment without unfairly targeting your farmers and middle New Zealand?
So we've supported a clean car standard, which reduces the amount of emissions which can be emitted from vehicles coming down over time. But there'll always be a need for petrol and diesel vehicles, for example, on farms and in logistics businesses. But we've supported some of the evidence-based initiatives that are currently on the policy agenda.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.